Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to address four listeners' questions, and I think they're going to lead us to some very good discussions. I'll explain. The first one is from Jason in New York. And in his note to me, he said that he had read somewhere recently that Stephen King says he writes 4 hours a day, every day, and that gives him about 6 pages. And so Jason was wondering, what is the actor's equivalent? How much time should an actor be spending every day if they're dedicated on their work, and what is that work? Well, there's obvious things. He states a few. For instance, of course, classes, if you're going to classes, where you're able to work on your acting. Certainly, if you're in rehearsals for something, well, obviously, you're working on your acting every day. But I think what he's asking about and what we're going to address is the idea that, you know, you don't have those things, right? So aside from the rehearsals in class and the auditions that you might have, those things are easy. You do them, you pursue them, you study your lines. Obviously, you know, you've got a task at hand. Now, what is it you conjure for yourself? What does the dedicated actor do on a daily basis if they're serious and they actually want to become better at what they're doing? Well, first off, anything that you can do with regard to any kind of exercise, self-help, watching your diet, making sure you're getting plenty of sleep. I mean, I know these sound silly, but I'm answering a question as honestly as I can. And that, to me, is part of what you're doing as an actor, because you are definitely the product. And, you know, if you think you can be some, you know, miserable Mike all week long, and then, you know, when you go in for the audition, turn that frown upside down and you're going to fool us, you're not. You won't. And so that's one thing. I don't think actors spend enough time looking at what's going on in the world with regard to the television series that are out, the movies that are out. You know, I'm a big one for Netflix. I any of these online stations that I can watch. And I binge watch like all the rest of them. And I find certain series that I like that I think really exemplify a way of working that I would hope to do. You know, I've loved shows like anyone. You've heard these shows, but certainly Bloodline, which I think was and is a masterclass in TV production and acting. I like a UK show called In the Line of Duty, about the internal affairs of police investigation. I think it's great writing, great acting. I recently binge-watched Mindhunter, and I thought it was fabulous. I thought Cameron Britton's role as a serial killer in it was fantastic, you know. And so I like to look at these things and see what it is I like about this stuff, you know, why I like it, you know, is this the type of thing I aspire to? It keeps me current with what's going on. And then watching great movies. Now, I've been around for a while, so I've been around when a lot of the great movies that people talk about came out, and I may have even seen them, you know, in the movie theaters when they first came out. But it surprises me when I talk to actors in the industry and I mention a show, a movie, you know, famous ones that, you know, like Godfather 1 and 2, you know, any movies, Lawrence of Arabia, any of the great ones. I mean, just go to Scorsese's or the AFI's top 100 movies to see. And I mean, I don't know. Try and see a few of them. Try and be aware. Try to be able to have some sort of dialogue about these things, you know, a point of reference. Now, how does that come into your acting? Well, I think what it can do is it goes back to what I think the number one generator that puts the power in your swing when you act, and that's confidence. And man, there's just nothing like knowing the landscape. Why not? Of course. So if I find myself in the middle of the day taking an hour out to watch the latest show, like I did most recently with Mindhunter, I think this is what I do. This is my work. And I'm going to do this now and watch this stuff and decide why I like it. Now, the other thing I like about online is that, of course, there's no commercials, so I'm not just mindlessly, you know, forgetting that I've just seen 8 minutes of mind-numbing commercials. I can just watch the material, click off, stop, go, and put it down and go. And to me, that's my study. I think if you read autobiographies on famous actors about the business, about what happened with them and, you know, what their experiences were, even if it was in the golden age, which, of course, I love. I love all those things, all the great movie stars and what it was like. Again, I think it adds depth to an actor's awareness and of the very business that they're in. I think it gives them a deeper point of reference. But I think it just brings confidence. It makes you feel like, you know a little bit about my business. And I think that's important because we have to get away from these get-rich-quick schemes of so many. I'm going to get on YouTube, and I'm going to get to them. I'm going to do that. Then I'm going to have my own thing. Then I'm going to have, 20,000 followers by, next month. And then I'm going to, Yes, of course, all those things are mightily important. But so's having knowledge about the industry that you're in. So I think that's another thing. I think if you ever wanted to write something, scenes, any sort of web series or something, and that you've talked about it and you thought, I should do it. I think it wouldn't be wrong to devote certainly a little time every day to hack away at it, if nothing else, for the discipline of following through on an idea that you had. I think that's hugely important, and I think that if you do it again, all of these things are going to add to the power in your swing, and that's your confidence. And they're easily done. And you can make it fun things, like I said. If you get an old film and you watch it one day, you binge watch a little of what people are considering some of the great television, take a close look at it, decide why these things are the way they are, make observations, the offbeat casting that they're doing, why these people. Do you think these people have risen in the ranks? What is it about this odd individual that really captured everyone's eye? This is just great stuff, you see. And I think what it does for the actor is it just broadens their awareness of what's going on, because so many actors get so tunnel vision with the little tunnel they're digging, trying to get where they're going. And there's a wisdom that you gain from widening that view of everything and what everyone else is doing and just being aware so you can have, good dialogue on this stuff. But I think what's most important, and Jason mentions it in his email to me, and that is observation and examination all day. All of this, these events during the day, all of the things we see go in and up to our own personal iClouds. And it's these iClouds that we pull from at times when we need to act. It's the observations we make on a day-to-day basis. That's the beauty of what we do. We're able to source material all day long. It's going on all the time, every time we're anywhere doing anything. Yes, but I think this is absolutely the most important, and I think that it's not only important just on its face, yes, observation and examination, but I think the depth to which we do it is very important, and here's that. It's certainly been my sport my whole life. As many of you have heard in this podcast, I came from one of those topsy-turvy families, and so being the youngest, it was always kitchen theater, like every night. And I think as a matter of survival, I came to try to understand what was really provoking people so I could somehow deal with it. If it was a mystery, I think it was a lot more scary to a young child. But if I could kind of figure out what was driving people, somehow I can handle it better, and control it a little bit more. And so it's always been my game. And so because it has been, I've noticed how with many people just don't really focus on that stuff. They'd rather not. It's too ugly. It's too bothersome. It stinks. I don't want to pay attention to it. And so we move on. But the deal is with actors, man, this has to be your absolute study. And I find that a lot of actors, and because it's a business that is so self-involved, you know, we're always looking inward or at a mirror or trying to decide, you know, what's happening with me? Where am I going? What am I going to do? You know, it's like we don't have a lot of time for other people and their problems and concerns. And boy, I tell you, you know, you're in the essentially in the laboratory of life every day, and you have all these lab animals that you can look at. And I don't think people go deep enough with trying to understand what really makes people tick. They make assumptions. They just kind of, you know, glancing blows at things. They get it. They think. They move on. To be dead honest, you know, not only did I leave and go from the East Coast to the West Coast when I was 19 and kind of leave that whole topsy-turvy family structure behind me, but I feel I got years of therapy through not just being an actor, but more importantly, having started, you know, as a teacher so early in my life, and then, you know, running a theater and being a director and having to discourse on human behavior is essentially what I did. And as a result of that, I, as an actor, I would be looking inward all the time thinking, you know, what? Why am I doing this? What's going on? Because I knew I'd have to talk about it. I wanted to be able to give good, lucid, you know, have good, lucid conversations about human behavior and what drives us and what authenticity is. I mean, this has always been an interest of mine. And so where it really helped me out was I would find myself in situations where I might get upset about something, or I'd become so preoccupied with what someone said to me, or, you know, that it would just make me want to flare up or be angry or, you know. And I would look and I'd say, you know, in examining it, because of my fascination with what truly drives us as people, I would say, well, finally, yeah, you know, this is your ego, man. You see, she is not following the script of life that you have set up. And so now you're upset at that remark, but what really is it but a remark? And now she's kind of controlling your life because you're upset about what she did. And, you know, you either believe that remark is valid, and if it is, well, then maybe you should look at that. And if it isn't, then you don't need to concern yourself with it. And so I would find there were many, many moments in my life where I was able to define an ego issue with myself, you know. And that stuff just helped me calm down, man, particularly when I was younger, because I was really hot-headed. And I just don't quite have the energy for that same kind of behavior anymore, although, you know, don't push me. But these are the things that actually saved me, man. And then I realized, well, what a great tool for the actor to just try and keep an even keel going through this crazy business that we're in. But aside from that self help aspect of really looking at your own actions, I would look at other people's actions and not just, I find a lot of actors just turn off on things. You know, they'll see somebody doing something in a restaurant and, oh, it's just too loud, man. I'm trying to, you know, have this milkshake and they're, you know, bumming me out, and they don't really pay attention, you know, and I'm always fascinated. You know, what are the dynamics here? What's really happening over there? Why is that person doing that to that person? What is in that person's face? What is in his face? What are these people doing? Interesting. No one's moving. Look how no one's moving. If this were a movie, everybody would be getting up and doing stuff. In real life, no one ever does anything. And, you know, I just continue to make the observation on what I'm seeing and then tangentially what's happening around them and how it's affecting everyone, me, what am I doing? And listen, you know, this is our study, you know, because I find this with actors. I'm pointing out all the time, you know, as my class is more about what is the truth and what is authenticity, and then what is the made up stuff that we do that's acting and sometimes needed, but most of the time looks like, you know, a copy of something else, or, you know, that a common concept of how something goes down. And if you examine it, it doesn't go down like that at all. Like last night when the two students were working on a scene from a movie where two former lovers had a blowout. Now they're seeing each other again, and it's a little awkward. Well, right off the bat, they both play it awkward. Of course, they've read the scene. It's an awkward scene. It was very lousy breakup, very embarrassing. And then now, you know, she is stopping by his place of business and they see each other. And it's just awkward as hell. And so I said, is that how it is really? Is that what we do? That's not what I do. Why? I hate awkward, man. Oh boy, will I avoid awkward like the plague. I will make stuff up. I will talk. I will act as though nothing's wrong. When the person apologizes for us, say, don't worry about everything. Because, man, we hate confrontation. We hate awkward. We don't want to sit in that stuff. So everyone ends up like, that's not a big deal. This isn't a big deal. We're smiling. We're laughing. We're moving the conversation along quickly. But believe me, the audience always gets what's actually happening. And in fact, more so now, because we see how much we will compensate because we loathe that other thing so much. We will do whatever we need to do for the sake of survival to avoid those moments. And now what we have is something that rings so true of what real life is like. It just puts a smile on your face because you instantly, as the audience, see right through it. You can understand what's going on and you recognize yourself in those moments. And that's what we're trying to do. Not modulated, well-paced, proper-paused acting. This next question is from Allie. From the UK, who currently is visiting Vancouver, British Columbia, here in Canada, of course. And she asked me a question. She has an audition, and it's a very different type of role than she'd usually play. It's a foul-mouthed, dirty slag, which, of course, would be meaning a slut type person. And she said she wanted to take the challenge and go for it. Plus, they were after a British accent, since she has one, and she happens to be in Canada, in Vancouver. This is perfect for her. She doesn't have to worry about doing an American accent. So you've certainly seen people like this, right? They are in your personal iCloud. You might have had friends like this. You might have done the club scene with a few friends that were kind of slaggy. And you've observed them. You've seen them in the streets. You're aware of what this behavior is. Certainly aware of it to know that it's not like you. So obviously you're aware of it. Great. Now here's the deal. You know, actors get a little preoccupied when they get into that whole authentic thing and they hear me saying, you know, you got to use yourself, you know, just go with who you are, say the lines. Lines and situation will dictate character. And they hear that and they become preoccupied with the idea that, yes, but how can I be? I'm so not this person. How can I do it? Well, first things first, you're an actor. That's what you signed on for. You didn't sign on for roles that would line up perfectly with who you were. And I know you know that, but here's the deal. You got to let this idea go of it feeling real or feeling right when you're doing it, or like, you know, like you're not lying, or you're not putting on, or you're not playing a character, you know. I want it to be real. I want to bring it to myself, but I'm not a slag. Excellent. I'm sure the world could use more people just like you. But here's the thing. This is what you do. Now, you know, I always go back to the bet. I say, okay, we're about to walk into a party. I want you to walk in there and I want you to act just like a slag, a drunken slag. And if the people believe you, if anyone believes you, I'll give you $5,000 cash for every person that believes you in that party. You know, you wouldn't have any problem doing this. You're just going to do it, man. It'd be a big night for you, especially if there were lots of people at the party. My goodness, after the head count, geez, right? You people listening, you know you could do this, yeah? So here's what happens. You sit there and you say, well, I can't, but I can't. Get your mind off yourself. It's not supposed to be real. You're not a slag, I thought. It's not supposed to feel real. I mean, in that sense where all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, I'm actually a slag. No, you just act like one, but you stop questioning it, just like you wouldn't question it if you went into the party. When you went into the party to win the bet that I offered you, you see, you would just be going in there and you would just be focused on doing your thing and you would expertly know how to get everyone in the room to believe you. You would just do it. You would intuitively know how to do it. But it's the actor standing on the sideline and says, oh, holy smokes, now how do I get into this? This just feels phony and crazy. I'm not this person. I feel like a phony. Yeah, well, you know, this could be the thinking of a civilian, someone who's not in our profession. But for those of us who have signed up to put on the grease paint, hey, this is what we do. So we embrace it. You go for it. Slag away. Don't look back. Just go. Do your thing. Do whatever the scene says you're supposed to do. And now reach up into that iCloud and bring down those beautiful observations you've made of your friends. You know, at times, you have a friend who is a little slaggy, let's say, and is always drunk on the weekends. You know how many people who are not like that, who are friends of this person, they do these perfect impersonations. Perfect. They got the mindset that you can improvise with them, and then everybody laughs and goes, oh my God, that's just how Dorothy is. It's crazy. It's one of the many reasons I don't like all of this, worked out thinking, constructing of acting, you know, where notes, all this bullshit I keep talking about. Because you get so wrapped up in all this other stuff, you forget about the, hey, I'm a play actor, watch this. And you just get up and you crush it. Just like you could walk into the party and get $5,000 for every person that believes that you're a drunken slag. You lose that. You see, this is what I notice that's lost in these people. That sense of fun, that sense of make-believe, and just get up and do it, man. They're all into their heads and into their mechanism and into all the little notes and shit. You know, I got on an elevator at a casting office the other day, and I saw a woman waiting to get on the elevator. It was particularly slow this day, and this woman had a spiral ring, you know, a notebook, and it was opened up, and man, there was so much ink writing on it, you know, but not just in straight lines. It was like this note, that note, and there were, I see three different colors. I believe there was blue, black, and red, and so there'd be like a little paragraph, but a little angle here, and then another, and then three lines, and it was all so desperate. I mean, I just could glance at it and think, good grief, that looks like some manifesto, you know, they find after they've, you know, caught the serial killer. It was just so much shit. I was looking at it and I immediately knew that girl's an actor. There's no doubt that girl is an actor. And she's holding it up to her face like way high too. You know, like just right under her chin. And she's just staring at it with such intensity. She doesn't even know where she is. Now I know that girl is not only an actor, but she's going up to the third floor to audition. And I'm looking at her manic behavior. You know what she doesn't have right now? That joie de vivre, man. That shiny penny thing where she's going to walk in and just nail it. What is she studying for? Who is she about to play? Madame Curie? And she's got to go in and spout a bunch of stuff that she has to remember? The scenes about a bunch of scientific jargon? No, this is all motivational bullshit. And it's this way, that way, this way, that way, this way, that way, this way, that way. And then she flipped it over and another page. And then she went back to that page. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you poor woman. This is torturous. You're trying to cram like for an exam right now. And you're about to walk upstairs. And you're supposed to look sane. Now, you've heard me say this. I've watched over 10,000 auditions in my career, being in this business for 38 years. And I can tell you, there's no way that woman is going to shake this desperation that she has right now, this madness. But I thought, my God, look what this has done to you. And this is this hyper focus on trying to get everything to feel and be, and you know, or you could just get on with the thing and act like a slag and a drunken one and win the money. Are there things you need to know? Yes, of course. You know, listen to my podcasts. Buy my book. Of course. But should you do this to yourself? Never, man. Never. Ever. Because I would say, I wonder how that person's career is going. I guarantee you they're not working a lot. Why? They wouldn't be this desperate. There's no way an actor who's working a lot would be that desperate. No, if the actor were working a lot, the actor would probably be calm saying, here we go again, time to bag another. So, to Ali, I would say, hey, just do the slag. That's it. You got this. No problem. Now, kind of close to that is a question from Carla from Paris. And she is saying that she has a question concerning character that, you know, she says that she's read the book, my book, and says that she agrees with the fact that, you know, we should always use oneself. However, she says there are times when she's using herself in dramatic scenes, and in real life, she happens to cry a lot, she says, whether she's happy, sad, or angry, and it's usually expressed through tears, and she has a hard time controlling it. She says that when she's doing scenes and she gets angry, she might suddenly, you know, cry because and tear up because that's what she would do in real life. And she, you know, does it a lot. And that the person auditioning her might say, oh, no, that's not how this character would get angry. And I'm sure that what the auditioner is looking for is no tears. We don't want you crying. It's just a choice. Sometimes they want them. Sometimes they don't. So what Carla is asking me is, do I have any advice on how she could break that pattern? She said that her teacher often talks about animal work, but she doesn't even know what that means. Carla, you're after my heart. Yeah, I know. Animal work. Well, I guess you got to pick an animal that doesn't cry. Okay, Carla, first of all, this really isn't unlike the question I just answered from Allie. And that is the idea that we, first of all, need to embrace other ways of doing something. Yours goes a little further, and I get that, because you seem to have an emotional issue. When you get upset, you cry. And then, you know, what about the roles where they don't want you to do that? And I'd like to believe, Carla, that if you are in this business and you work and you continue to work, there will be many roles where they may very well say, look, it's great, Carla, but let's not have the tears. So what do you do? Okay, well, first of all, stop it. How do you do that? Well, listen, you need to. You just need to. I love that you're such an emotional vessel, that you have all of that right there. Believe me, there are some listeners now that are saying, geez, I'd love to have that be the problem. Too much emotion constantly available to me, you know, just running spigots that I can't seem to turn off. But you need to. You need to figure that out, because at the end of the day, as I just said with the comments I made on Ali's question, at the end of the day, we play people that we are not. Sometimes just a little bit. That's why I say concede as little as possible to character. So if you don't have to change something about yourself, don't. But that says as little as possible. So if this other character is not like you, because they, for instance, as we meet people in real life, there are some people that, you know, it shocks me, because I think I tend to be a bit of a crybaby, believe it or not. A big macho man like me. It shocks me that some people just don't cry at all, you know. And, you know, we could go back to the psychology of that and their families, I guess, and why this, that, this, and the other. But, hey, you know, we're all different people on this planet. So you happen to have the spigot that can't seem to shut off, or at least constantly is dripping. Well, you've got to stop it. Don't get upset about it. And don't hear this and think, oh, no, now what? Because there is no trick. You just don't do it. Why? Well, because you're a professional, and in this particular scene, you're not supposed to. And here's a really strong thought for you. You combine that with this idea that the character in the scene who happens to be having a problem with someone, or sharing an idea with someone, or, you know, getting a point out with someone, does not want their tears, their crying, to in any way distort or lessen the severity of their argument. You know, in real life, when we make something the most important, it somehow will get us where we need to be. Just like I say, when you go in for auditions, if you make the thing you're actually talking about more important than doing the scene well, you'll probably do your best work. If you make the thing that's happening in the scene, the point you're trying to make to get across, more important than your nerves or anything else, chances are you'll do a better job. And this is selective. We decide these things. Now, in the beginning, you'll try and make those choices, and they won't maybe go like a light switch for you, and so you'll get a little frustrated. But that doesn't mean that you stop. You just try and increase your ability to do that each time, a little more, until finally you know how to just flip that switch, go in, do the thing, and then walk out of the room. Because that's it, right? We are the chef. We decide what goes on the menu every day. And the first thing you've got to do is know that it's something you can do. You can control that. You can do whatever you want, okay? And don't look for it to stop immediately. Just decide in the scene, the one thing I'm not going to do with you, sir, is start crying. Because I do not want it to lessen the severity of my message. And I know that if I do, you may perceive me as being weak, overly emotional, and it may undercut my message. I am not going to let that happen. It will not happen. Now, what may happen is that you'll start to do it, then you'll start to cry, and then you'll cry about the fact that you're powerless. And then it'll just start this, you know, crying snowball. Get a hold. You want to be in this business. Turn it around. You come off like a conscientious actor, so what I tell you is you need to start to make the point of what you're talking about more important than whether or not you're going to cry or how much you're going to cry, how come you have a crying issue. No, none of that. Decide that to do that will undercut, it'll undermine your message with this particular fellow or girl or situation, wherever you're talking, when the director says no tears. And you start to do that, and you will get better at it, and pretty soon this will be something that you handle easily. It's great. It's great. It's really great that you have that kind of emotion available to you, right? So instead of doing the thing that most people have to do, and that is find a way to access that, you have to find a way to turn that spigot off and get it so it doesn't leak. Do it. But always use something tangible, like in real life, like a reason, part of your message, why you don't want it to undermine it. Otherwise, you're just saying, don't cry this time, don't cry this time. Come on. Obviously, you've tried that. It didn't work. Try this. You've got it. And finally, I have a kind of a comment question from Heather in Florida. And she actually addresses the last podcast that I did, and that a lot of actors will override their own instincts and intuition with regard to what they really feel about the class and what they're getting out of it. You know, they'll override it by thinking, well, you know, so-and-so studied here, or they'll think this doesn't make sense to me, and so they're confused, but they'll override it because they'll be intimidated that everyone else in the class seems to be doing the hokey pokey just fine. Why can't they do it? So, but what she asks me, as she said, she was in a class where that wasn't the problem. You could understand the teacher. He never spoke in any of those terms, and but she felt that it was more just about criticism. You know, that he would again and again say, "I don't believe you. I don't believe that. I don't believe you. I don't believe that. I don't believe you." You know, it seemed to fall in line with the consensus in the class, meaning if you were watching and the teacher was saying about something you were watching up there, scene, "I don't believe you, I don't believe you," most people's, most actors in the class would think, "Yeah, I don't either." And so, you know, she just felt like she wasn't really getting anything out of it. And so what is the dynamic that's keeping people in that class when maybe they're not getting anything out of it? Why do people stay in those kinds of classes? There are many degrees of, you know, teachers, like how well they teach, what they do, how useful they are, and then what their particular thing is, what their approach is, their method, the way they work, and so on and so forth. And at one end, we can just say complete nonsense. You know, the emperor's wearing absolutely no clothing. And, you know, I know I've told the story, and I would say this would be at the end of that spectrum. At that side, when I was a kid, I went into a class and it was full of adults. This was in Hollywood. And this is where some of you may have heard this story where I talked about how, you know, in that class, the guy got up to work and he said, "Okay, I'm going to be doing," and this is not a word of a lie, this is absolutely the truth. Go back and listen to any of my podcasts or any of my stuff. I've told this story. and it's never changed. The actor said, I'm going to do purple emanating from my knees, yellow emanating from my lips, burnt arms, fireball down the back, broken legs. And then they did a scene from The Glass Menagerie that looked just like a bad scene from The Glass Menagerie. And then the teacher actually spoke about some of those things he actually saw, others he didn't. And everyone sat there with straight faces. And that's when I realized, my goodness, this is an interesting dynamic that has adults sitting here nodding to this kind of nonsense. So we have that at one end of the spectrum. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you have these, you know, very sensible, smart, maybe actors who've worked in the industry, actually done things, currently work, and they sit there and they say things like, you know, I don't believe you, I don't believe you. And indeed, what the actor is doing is not believable. Well, here's the problem. You don't even need to remotely be a teacher to do that. All you need to be is a heckler with a decent eye. And so to sit in a class and scream at actors, you know, I don't believe you, I don't believe you, I don't believe you. See, the problem here is that then the actors will go off and they'll have their beer after class and they'll say things like, wow, you know, it was a tough class, man. But you know what? He's hard, but he doesn't bullshit. And I like that. I mean, at least this guy is telling us the way it is. And that's how actors kind of find good in this. They say, yeah, you know, he's not kidding. I mean, you know, when he said that Bill's scene wasn't believable, it wasn't. It wasn't. You know what? And Bill needs to hear that because Bill's been doing fake work for a long time. And now this guy's finally telling Bill that what he's doing is full of shit. And that's good. And I like a tough class. It's a tough business. And the teacher will echo that and say, this is a tough business. And then everybody gets sucked into that because, well, the teacher's right. It is a tough business. And Bill was doing work that wasn't believable. But any heckler can do that. All the person is doing is saying, you're not doing a good job, I don't believe you. And then you'll have students that continue to go to the class because they believe he's being truthful, and that falls in line also with it being a tough business. So, you know, if you can't take a little bit of gruffness from your acting coach, then, you know, how are you going to make it in the business? And then you keep coming back to the class because you want to clear that high bar. You want to jump over it. You don't want to leave the class until you've jumped over it. Otherwise, you're going to really look like a loser, right? You're going to look like a loser because, Bill, everyone heard him berate you about your lousy acting. The fact that he doesn't believe you. And now what are you going to do? Leave the class? You quitter. Couldn't make the grade. Don't you want to be an actor, Bill? It's an interesting way to keep people in a class. But the man is not a teacher. He's not a teacher at all. So what, you pay me and then I just sit in the room and heckle you? That's not fair. You see, what has to happen is I have to give you direction. It's like saying to somebody, be funnier. Be better. What does any of that mean? Yeah, except that I'm paying you to show me how to do that. So, yeah, it stands to reason that maybe I'm not believable. Ergo, that's why I'm in a class currently. So if I'm in a class, I am paying you to show me how to be believable. So rather than just berating me each time and telling me stuff that, like, anyone else in the class apparently can see, how about you give me some magic words of wisdom that'll lead me down the path. So don't fall for that hoodwink, folks. Just because someone can tell you when you're full of shit doesn't mean that you're in a good class. You don't need to pay people for that. You go anywhere, do your little scene and have people go, what are you doing? It's a skit. I don't believe you, kids. I hope you don't want to be actors or nothing. I mean, why don't you just go do that? And you can save money. I just give you a hard time. And then take your checks because it's a tough, tough field. So if you can't take my toughness, then how are you going to make it out there? Stop being intimidated by all these people. You know, if somebody speaks that way to you and you're better and your work improves and Bill's work improves and everyone says, Bill, boy, he really handed it to you tonight. He ripped a piece off and you were better. And Bill improves and starts booking, Bill, don't leave the class. Clearly, whatever that's happening there, that dynamic is really working for you. But Bill, if you are not improving in the class, don't just keep paying to get flogged every week publicly. I mean, what's it going to do? Toughen you up? You want to get toughened up? Join the Marines, man. Okay? Listen, do me a favor, will you? Will you please follow us on Podomatic or iTunes? Just do it and let the Gipper know, I'm the Gipper, that you're digging these things, and I'm going to keep them coming fast and furiously. All right? Hey, thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please remember to follow us on Podomatic or subscribe on iTunes. If you want to know anything else about the Real Life Actor approach, you can always go to reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.